Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Today's guest is Mr. Josh Einson. He's a casting director known for TV series such as This Is Us, The Big Leap, and Love, Victor. Welcome, Mr. Einson. Let's jump right into the questions.
So could you briefly explain your role as a casting director? What responsibilities fall under this, and what does your day-to-day look like?
Sure. I feel like I should clarify, 99% of the work I do is television or episodic, which is different than movie or theater or musicals. The job of a casting director is I'm a department head, and there are lots of departments: the casting, camera, costumes, the sets, props, all of it. And I am just one of the department heads. So my job is to work with the producers. Television is more a producer's medium than a director's medium. And then the rest of the creative team to make sure that we're all marching the same direction, that we're all taking care of the needs of the show in a timely manner. And when you're doing episodic television for a 1 hour drama, you've got 8 work days. For a half hour, usually comedy, you've got 5 most of the time. So everybody has to be on the same page, and they have to be there very quickly. There's not a lot of time. So everybody has to be marching the same direction quickly. And it's nice when you work with a team for a while, everybody kind of gets everybody's taste and what needs to be done much more rapid fire, and things happen more quickly. But especially like at the beginning of a season or at the beginning of a show, when you're doing a pilot, there's a lot of getting to know each other, getting to know how everybody works and everybody's taste. So it's not just me and my department and how we work. It's really coordinating with everybody else in both the logistical aspects of what needs to happen and the creative aspects of what needs to happen.
And what made you to consider a career in this specific part of the film industry over the other?
I had actually originally started, the plan when I first moved out here was I was going to direct. I happened to land a job working in production, actually thanks to my dad was a year apart from Tommy Lee Jones. So I had met Tommy Lee when he came back to, well, he was Mr. Jones then, when he came back to St. Mark's, and then a few years later wrote to him and said I needed a job, and he was kind enough to set me up as a set PA on a movie that he was writing, directing, and starring in called The Good Old Boys. So I went from graduating school and having about 2 days to get back to Dallas and unpack and repack, and ran down to West Texas to work on that movie, and then ended up staying working in production for a long time. It was a great place to learn. It was like a paid graduate school education. Production is the center hub of all the things that happen on a TV or movie set. So I sort of saw what everybody did, which was a great way to learn, but I stayed too long. Eventually decided the hours were insane and just not for me. And production is really about making the trains run on time, which I can do, but it's not my strong suit. But because I had gotten to see so many different departments, one of them I got to see was casting. And I had been a drama major with an emphasis in directing. And I thought, well, there, that was always my favorite part of directing anyway, was getting to work with the actors. And here's a whole career where you get to do that. And about the time that I decided I wanted to do that, the only casting directors I knew posted that they needed an intern. So in my late 20s, I started all over again as an unpaid intern and worked my way back up.
And you mentioned that you were a drama major with emphasis in directing. Could you talk about the process that you undertook in college and how you find in determining your major and how you finally ended up with that major?
Totally by accident. It was not the plan at all. When I went to school, I was going to be a psych major, probably be a child psychologist, because I'd been a day camp counselor and really liked working with kids, and thought, great, that's how I'm going to combine them. Very quickly got out over my skis in terms of taking classes that I should not have been taking too early in my college career, and sort of blew my psych GPA very quickly and went, okay, this is not going to be a viable path for me. Transferred to an English major. And then while I was doing that, two things were leading me to the drama department. One were all the dramatic literature classes, which were sort of coded for both majors. And then, just to fill electives, I was taking drama class, acting classes, because I'd been involved in the theater at St. Mark's. My senior year, I was Jesus Christ and Godspell and had done a bunch of the plays and really loved it. But it really, like, I was not thinking of it all as a future for me. It was really just a fun thing to fill some requirement. And then I would have an extra spot every semester, and I would take one more drama class just for fun. And finally, one of my drama teachers pointed out that I had already practically completed the minor, sort of by accident. And she said, you know, you really ought to consider making it a double major. And then I just put all my weight behind that. Once I started directing, I knew I didn't want to be an actor, but as soon as I discovered directing in that part of the process, I really fell in love and sort of became a drama major and an English minor. And it was one of those teachers that I was working with who said a lot of what I was trying to do on stage was actually very cinematic, and said, had I considered Hollywood? And it was, I had no plan for the rest of my life, which, you know, after coming out of St. Mark's and not going to be a doctor or a lawyer, I was like, okay, I got to pick something, since the whole thing was a surprise path to be on. And like I said, Tommy Lee Jones hooked me up with that job, and I immediately fell in love with the industry, even though the production path was not for me. But production was such a good hub that I did get to see what everybody did. There were a lot of departments that looked really cool and interesting, but casting was the one that was the best fit for me.
And with your circuitous major path in college, do you feel like if you could go back in time now, you would just directly jump to drama and directing? Or do you think that the different majors that you explored for a bit added some, or continue to add some sort of value to your day?
Well, I think that, you know, psychology and acting are very, you know, understanding characters are very closely tied together. The English, particularly the dramatic English classes where we were studying scripts, but in general, yeah, textual analysis is a lot of what I do. And I don't even think about it anymore, but it's the same as reading a book. It just, you learning how to read a thing and see all the things that are going into a character. I mean, for me, that's the part that I've absorbed and retained the most, but all the different things that go into it, yes, have become like a subconscious, just part of how my brain works now. And I use that without having to think about it now in what I do. So it ended up being very valuable that I did all those things, even though I would not have said that it was not the most direct path, but it all ended up adding to who I am. Tommy Lee actually gave great advice when I was a senior in a fiction writing class. There was somebody in my class who was considering pursuing acting. And I remember him saying, if you want to be an actor, don't just study acting. Study history, study science, study psychology. If the only thing you study is acting, the only role you are fit to play is an actor. As an actor, you need to be able to bring anything into it. And I really feel like working in a creative industry like this, which is so nonlinear, really anything you have studied anywhere can apply. And there are also so many jobs within this industry. Like, I've been talking to somebody recently who's about to graduate college, and he's much more business minded, but he's still fascinated by the industry. So we've been talking about the agency route or a producer route or a finance route. There's still a lot of, there's so many jobs that can combine your interests in this industry, which I had just never been aware of before.
I like the Tommy Lee Jones anecdote. I feel like that can really be applied to like any sort of field that you pursue. Like, having knowledge about other fields can always be useful.
I think I am a fan of a liberal arts education. I am a fan of how St. Mark's broad education works. And I mean, it's not for everybody. Like, if you know you're going to be an engineer and that's it, then it's a very specific kind of engineering, for example, then okay, I get it. But if there's any chance that you're going to be in a field where you're going to bring in other things, I think, yeah, the more you know about, the more stuff you can know about, the more you can bring to it. And I think that's added value to anybody in terms of looking for a job someday and just being good at a job and fun to work with.
In terms of pursuing graduate school education in film, do you think that that's really a good path to go down? Or do you think just gaining experience in those first few years right after college is the right way to go?
It was the right way for me, and I liked getting paid for it. So rather than paying for it, so that worked out pretty well. I am a big fan in this industry of just jumping in. I think a college education is important. Grad school to me less so, but I also didn't do it. So I'm not really talking from a place of expertise there. But I find that the hands-on practical way that things have to get done is you're more likely to learn that from doing it than studying it in a controlled environment. Because a TV or film set is definitely an uncontrolled environment. Like the number of things that you have to account for and get ready for that can go wrong at any given moment. You can't possibly learn it in a grad school setting. It's just too small. That said, there are people who know, again, that there's a specialty that they want to really get in depth on. And in that case, I think a graduate school education might be very useful. But I'm glad that I did it this way. Getting to see editors and post-production is fascinating. And I nearly pursued that. And I never would have even thought about it if I had had a more narrowly tailored educational career.
Could you briefly talk about how a typical workday or work week looks like for you, like just from start of the day to the end, number of hours, holiday schedule or weekend schedule, things like that?
I will say one of the nice things about working in casting is there's something vaguely resembling regular hours. It is a more or less, it's a 9:30 to 6:30 day. In theory, we're supposed to have time off for lunch, but I'm always at my desk, unless it is a lunch meeting that I have to go take. But otherwise, we're working. At this point, everything is work from home, which is strange since my whole job is working with people and I do not actually ever work with actual human people anymore. So that part has been strange. I don't know if we're going to go back or not. The exception being during pilot season for us, which has gotten a little more diluted because there are so many different kinds of content being created now that it's not on a schedule as much. During pilot season, the hours are ugly and you're working weekends. And it is a massive time crunch to put the original cast for a show together. So that can get kind of intense with not a lot of sleep. But usually the days in casting are a lot more reasonable than the rest of this industry. To let everybody else know about the rest of the industry, one of the reasons that production, any on-set job, you start on a Monday morning with a 7 a.m. call time. And if the day goes perfectly, it's a 12-hour work day plus a half hour or an hour of lunch. So if everything is perfect, you are 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Because of turnaround times for actors and like the director of photography, the next day, the earliest you're probably going to start is 8 a.m. So by the end of the week, you're starting your days pretty late. And that's, again, if everything goes perfect. And usually for a night shoot, they put that at the end of the week. So there's a pretty good chance, they call them Fratterdays, because you may be starting at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday and working until the sun comes up on Saturday and going home. So those hours are rough. I did not mind giving them up. A lot of people love it. I love going and visiting set now when they're working those hours, but I'm really happy and I don't have to work until 5 or 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning anymore.
In terms of employment opportunities in the film industry, I feel like when looking from like the outside, it feels like that industry is kind of secluded and hard to like get into unless you have like some sort of connections. Do you agree with this sentiment, or do you think that like it's pretty easy to like get a job in this industry?
I think connections help, not necessarily in getting a job directly, because there are a lot of people who come to me about jobs, but really the only thing I can help with is if you want an acting or casting career. And honestly, those are hard as well if I don't need any staff and you're not right for a role. That said, it's helpful in terms of advice and to say, like, I've been out here for a long time. I can give advice to people about a lot of different things and sort of help guide or suggest things that I've seen that I know that work. But I know I'm somebody who like got my first job from an alum, so I'm not necessarily a great example for this. But a lot of hustle and just learning, I still think you don't need to know somebody. I think it's a lot of understanding the industry and strategy. There's a St. Mark's alum named Cole Gerthofer who, when he was 15, interviewed me for The Remarker because I was working on Community at the time. And I remember him saying, can I come to the set to interview you? And I said, well, we can just talk on the phone. And he said, yeah, but can I? I said, sure. And I saw as soon as he walked in the door of the set, like, I know the look, he was addicted. I'm like, oh, this is somebody who is going to be out here. And it does take a certain kind of addiction to want to work in this industry. It's not always the healthiest. You have to manage your addiction. But he didn't want to act, and he didn't want to do what I wanted to do. He wants to be on the writing, producing part of the world. But we stayed in touch, and I was able to give him advice, and he met other people, and he was very proactive about reaching out to other people and saying, can I take a meeting? And what can you tell me? And what can I learn? And all of those things added up to he's at the beginning of that path now. So I don't think you need it. It doesn't hurt. But I think anybody that you can talk to, in general, people love to talk about what they do, and most people don't ask. So any industry you want to get in, a thoughtful Q&A with somebody to just tell them that you would like to pick their brain because you think they've got a cool job, it's not something that we get to do very often. So people will probably want to answer your questions. And if not, somebody else will.
That's a great point. This next question is, you've addressed this question a little bit in some of the previous answers, but like more of a direct answer, I guess, is like, what are some of your favorite aspects of this job and least favorite aspects that maybe you haven't mentioned so far?
Well, I'll start with the fun ones. I love what I do. I am definitely, like, I found the right career path for me. And I know how fortunate I am to have found a career where I was able to stumble around for a while in my 20s until I landed on the right path. That's not something everybody has the luxury to do. So very grateful to have landed in casting, and specifically episodic. I love giving actors jobs. It's just cool. Actors love to work, and I like working with them to help create the character. I love seeing them on screen. I love being part of the storytelling process and working with the rest of a great creative team. Like, I just came off of 6 years on This Is Us and 2 years, 3 years on Love, Victor. And they were both amazing work experiences with wonderful creative teams who knew how to lead, but knew how to value the people that they were working with and let them do their jobs and listen to advice. And it was really exciting to see the audience fall in love with those shows. Like, that's just, it's a privilege to get to do what I do. So that's the good stuff. The bad stuff that I've become mostly immune to, but you have to learn to let it not bother you, is most of my job is saying no. The number of actors that audition for a part that don't get it are much larger than the number of people who audition who do, obviously. Thankfully, I have staff now, and sometimes I let them give the bad news so I don't have to anymore. But that part of it is not great. It's just not fun. And depending on the show and what studio or network you're working with, there can be a lot of politics involved, which I just find icky and I don't enjoy doing. So that, again, I've been very lucky for several years now to really not have to deal with that. It's been wonderful groups of people from the very top all the way down. And it was really a joy. The other thing that people should know about working anywhere in this industry or any artistic industry is you never will have a steady paycheck, ever. Getting used to that is hard. I just finished a pilot last Friday, and I'm calling it fun employed because I actually haven't had a break. And aside from 4 months during the pandemic, which I do not count, I was lucky. I got to go back to work earlier than most people, because This Is Us, I think, was the second show back into production. A lot of my friends stayed unemployed, not fun employed, for a very long time. But yeah, and that's just, you have to learn how to enjoy the time off, and I'll go see people and shows and movies and maybe, you know, take a road trip or something. Because when we're working, it's very intense and there's very little flexibility with being able to get away. So yeah, I think that is one of the downsides to this industry, is not only the adjustment in your own, like, how to manage your money and your time, but nobody gets that, especially parental units. They do not understand, like, that being unemployed is just part of working in this industry. There are some places in this industry where you can have a steady job, but a lot of the parts of the entertainment industry are gig to gig. So yeah, it's not fun. And even if you can get used to the time off, having them go, do you have a job yet? Do you have a job yet? What about now? Okay, I'll stop asking. Now? Like, that's not great.
You also brought up, like, not having a steady paycheck, or in terms of, like, compensation. Could you just briefly talk about, without going into specifics, how that looks at the different tiers in this industry?
Getting started in this industry is not great, especially if you're in LA or New York, which I think you really should be. by the way, side note, if you really want to get into this industry, go to LA or New York. Atlanta has a decent market, but other than that, like, don't dabble. Just either jump in and see if you like it or don't. But don't think about it. It's not that kind of industry. Yeah, living in LA, you're going to have roommates. You're not going to make a lot of money. I don't know what the bottom rung is right now. I'm guessing it's around $750 a week, but it could be less still. When I got started, it was around $500 a week, and it has not gone up much for the bottom entry-level person. For the sort of mid-level person in the industry, a lot of those are union jobs. Film and TV is very much a union industry. Theater, Broadway is not. If that is your passion, you should know that. There are some parts of it that are union, but a lot of there are still big gaping holes in theater that are not, especially casting. But yeah, a lot of those mid-level jobs are union positions, or they're with a studio or a network where, yeah, you can make an okay living. Like, it's not gonna be fancy, but by that point, you're probably late 20s or 30s. So you need some money, but you don't need to be rolling in it. And then for the upper tiers of department heads, like, yeah, like these last few years, I've made a good living and it's been nice. It's still not like there's this sort of illusion that Hollywood is like, you go out there and you get rich, kid. And that's just not it for 99% of the industry. It's just not it. Like, most people who work in this industry work hard. And a lot of people, a lot of the on set jobs sort of stay working class. It's a lot of the times physical labor. I have been fortunate enough to find a path and a group of people to work with where I've done very well, and I'm very thankful, but like, not rolling in it by any means. Some writer producers make a ton of money. A few actors make a ton of money, but a lot less than you think. There's a lot more. A lot of actors put on a good show of having a lot of money, but really don't. So yeah, acting is not such a luxurious gig for really most of them. So yeah, it really varies on exactly what you pick, but there are ways to make a comfortable living here, but it can be a long path. It is a competitive industry.
In your view, what kinds of personalities fit this profession well, and what are some soft skills or interpersonal skills that are crucial to success?
I would say the most important sort of soft skill is teamwork. Even if you are an editor and you spend all day in front of your computer just editing pieces of stuff together, you still are going to have to work with a bigger team at some point. Even if you're a writer where you sit in a room all the time and just invent stuff, at some point you have to go work with the rest of the creative team to help the vision come to life and take notes from studios or networks or whoever and make adjustments. So that doesn't necessarily mean you are outgoing. It doesn't mean you have to be an extrovert at all. It is not a solitary job, even if big chunks of it are. You have to be able to work well with other people. And oddly enough, you have to be able to put your ego aside a lot in this industry, which is, again, associated with ego. But it's actually, most people in this industry are very good about putting that aside and being like, this is my idea. What do you think? You hate it? Okay, what about this? I will adjust and let's all work together until we come up with the right thing. So that, I would say, is incredibly important. Yeah, I really do think that as long as you've got that, anybody can find a lane here. Like, the people who are really like more introverted, there are jobs for them. People who are super extroverted are gonna have a great time working on set or in a department that's much more together all the time. So like, there's anybody can find a lane in this industry. It's just not a terribly big industry.
I think that was a great piece of advice. I mean, teamwork is really applicable to any facet of life, not just film industry. But yeah, this next question is sort of not really related to the career aspect of this, just a side question. But what are some of the favorite shows or projects that you've worked on, and what were some like highlights of those experiences?
Oh, I've had some really cool experiences. I have been very lucky. Well, that first movie, like, I went right from writing a paper about Sam Shepard to he was in the first movie. That was bizarre for me. Getting to work with, I worked on the last three seasons of The West Wing that I had been my favorite show. And then I happened to get a job on it because I was unemployed. Like, that's the weird thing about this industry is like, if I hadn't been unemployed, I wouldn't have been available to take that job. So, you know, I was lucky to not have a job. And that was amazing. Everybody on that show was at the top of their game. And to be young in casting and to get to work on it and to learn a lot of casting skills there on the more practical end, and to begin to really develop my taste and how to work with actors and how to work with a creative team was just magical. Like going down the set and seeing Glenn Close in her first TV appearance, maybe ever. And you would walk on set and there would be like all the show's Emmys in these special cases, just sitting there. That was incredible. Being a part of This Is Us was really magical. And also love Victor. I was a young future gay kid and just didn't know it yet. And making that show for an audience that I would have loved to have had that show when I was younger. And to make the show that wasn't just for them, but really appealed to a broader audience who were just entertained by, it was the high school show with the cute people on it. And it was told good stories. To be a part of that was really exciting. To get to go to, I didn't go to the Emmy ceremonies, but I got to go to like the post-Emmy parties for This Is Us when it was nominated. And, you know, getting boozy with the people who just won their Emmys, that was a good time. Like that was a perk. Doesn't happen often. So it wasn't nominated every year, but when it was, you know, that was great. Having famous people pitch themselves to me at those parties because we were all drunk. Did you just pitch yourself for a role in This Is Us to me? I used to watch you on my TV. Now you're asking me for a job. This is crazy. So I've had a lot of that has just been incredibly special. There were people that I used to watch on TV when I was a little kid, and then I cast them. And I have gotten used to being around famous people. I don't get starstruck anymore. I do get talent struck. I've worked on two shows with Alice and Janney, and I still like don't know how to talk to her without sounding like a stammering idiot. Like if she remembers me, it's that lovely boy from casting who always drooled when he talked to me. Like I just couldn't pull it together. But the people from my childhood who I used to watch, like I got to meet Linda Carter, who played Wonder Woman. I got to cast Marla Gibbs, who was on some of my favorite sitcoms, stuff like that. It's just magical.
Thank you for sharing all those. That was very interesting to hear from this. Yeah. This next question is like, what is your best advice for someone in their junior or senior year of high school that's deciding what they want to do in their future? What are some things that you tell them?
Well, I am a big fan of setting yourself up when you go to college to have options, to be able to explore. I am so thankful that I did. A few people are hardwired to do whatever it is that they're going to do, and it just is what it is. And they know that they're going to be a doctor or whatever. But I think it's important to really decide, is that coming from you and something that you are excited about doing for the rest of your life? Or is this something that has been programmed into you? And it is sometimes hard to tell the difference while you are still in high school. So I think it is important to go to a university or college where you've got some flexibility to explore. I think that's really important. Anybody who has a strong educational background is so fortunate to have that I think you should leave your options open until you can't anymore, and until you find the thing that interests you, because not everybody can do that. And if you are in a position to be able to financially and educationally, by all means, like find the thing that you're going to enjoy doing. We spend too much of our life working to commit to a career that makes us completely miserable. And it is, like I have said, it is a fluke that I found my way to what I do. I didn't even know it existed on any sort of a conscious level. And thank goodness that I was a little flaky there in my 20s for a minute and sort of, you know, meandered my way onto this path. So I think for anybody, if you can leave your options open and go back to what I said before, learn as much as you can about as much as you can. It'll just make life more interesting. It'll make you more interesting. And it is more likely that you're going to stumble across something that becomes a professional interest to you that happens to align with maybe a hobby. Like people ask what my hobbies are, and they're all tied to what I do because I get paid for my hobby, basically.
The last question I have is, do you have any final thoughts or comments to share? Maybe some aspects of your job that I haven't asked about yet or we haven't touched upon before we end the podcast.
I think if you want to be anywhere in this industry, I think it's important to really do some research and pay attention to the business part of it. One of the favorite phrases when you're working around here is it's show business, or somebody will say, yeah, we're just selling soap flakes here. But I remember working with a producer who would always counter with, yes, but we're selling soap flakes artfully. So I think it is important, while most people are concentrating on the art, to also read Deadline or Variety and really pay attention to the trades and what they have to say about how the business, and even if you don't understand what it means, get used to the language if this is a path you want to pursue. Internships are hard to come by in this industry. You definitely have to do it at this point during, while you are in school, to get school credit for it. If anybody wants to look up the Black Swan lawsuit, they will see why there are less internships than there used to be and why they are more tightly regulated, which is mostly a good thing. It does mean there's less opportunity, and post-pandemic internships are coming back, but they're coming back slowly. That said, I highly advise looking for one. And the last thing I would say, in terms of looking for jobs in this industry or internships, everybody goes after the same big ticket places. Warner Brothers, or J.J. Abrams is a hot producer, so everybody goes to his production company or whatever. If you watch any TV show or movie, there are three or four different production companies involved that still are in the business and need help. And the less well-known ones are going to more likely have trouble attracting help. And the people at those places are, at the very least, going to be more likely to have time to answer questions and more likely to need staff or maybe an intern. So I would say look into those kinds of companies if you want to get into this industry, just because not everybody is targeting them because they're slightly off the radar. So there we go.
Right. Thank you for, again, taking time out of your day for this and for all the interesting anecdotes and stories and advice that you gave. I really appreciate it.
I think what you're doing is great. I think it's really cool to be more forward thinking. Like, I wasn't even giving enough thought to this when I was so focused on the stuff that was right in front of me and like just getting from high school to college. And then I was in college, I was like just figuring out what the major was going to be and then just figuring it out. And I had not taken the time to look big picture, like really, like what life looks like if you look big picture. And I think as much as the internet can have some downside qualities, I think one of the perks is this sort of a broad education and exposure to information that isn't always great, but when it can be educational, I think it's really cool. So I'm glad you're doing this.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out pathfinder101.com for more information like this. Thank you and have a great rest of your day.